the book of 1 Corinthians. Book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16. Chapter 16, and we're going to be, this is going to be a scripture-heavy message, so buckle your seatbelts. We're going to be there for a while, and we're going to spend, we're going to read a lot of scripture today, and so I think it'd be a blessing if we receive it properly. So we're going to begin reading in verse 1. We're going to read all the way through the end of the chapter. We'll pray, and then we'll focus on one particular verse that I want to focus on this morning. And out of this chapter, but let's get everything in context and read it. He says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, in winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Isn't that funny? He said, "I'm going to stay where the adversaries are because the Lord's doing a work." And sometimes that's the case. To do God's will, you have to put up with the adversaries, because the devil doesn't go down lightly, does he? He said, verse 10, he said, "Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with an holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen." Now, Father, we thank you for that which you've given us. And Lord, just thank you for your love and your kindness and your mercy. Now, Father, as we go into the Word of God today, I pray you'd help me. And I pray you'd use your Word in the hearts of your people. Help us, Father, to understand the truth of your Word the way we ought. Lord, we just ask your help today because we need it. And for those that are not here, we pray for them as well, and they need you as well. So, Lord, I pray you turn their hearts to you. Remind them, O Lord, that your people are meeting today. Lord, help them to draw near to you, even as we seek to do so now. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
There's literally a lot of things that could be preached on there. I was just, as I was reading this, that last verse 22 says, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha." That means let him be accursed, for the Lord comes. The Lord's coming, as the way I understand the meaning of that. But there's going to come a time. You know, the Bible says that God's going to send strong delusion that they should believe a lie, which received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You know, we look at that, we see that, and it's going to be careful. And you know, the Bible says, because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So we have to be careful about that. We need to love the Lord the way we should. But I want you to look at this with me, and I want you to look at verse 13. He's talking to them about all of these things that are going on, about his plans and about Apollos' plans and about the gathering that they were going to have, the offering that they were going to have to help the churches in Jerusalem in that area and their brethren in Jerusalem. And he's talking about what God's doing and the things that they have. And then in verse 13, he says, "Watch ye, stand fast, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity." I was thinking about that, and you know, it just that one verse is like a miniaturized version of almost everything that Paul exhorts churches to do and Christians to do, and that God, through Paul, I should say, exhorts Christians to do. And we're told that. And so it says watch, it says stand, it says quit and be. Watch, stand, quit, and be. Watch, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Now that word quit is not used in this fashion very often anymore. When we think of quit, we say, "I'm done, I quit. I'm going to cease doing that, I'm not going to try anymore," right? I quit. But this word, as it's using, it says, quit you like men. It's saying, perform like men. Behave like men. We would say, you need to acquit yourself well. Right? The idea of acquit means that something's been proven in that regard. And so, this is the context that we need to see this in. And so I started thinking upon it, and I started meditating on it, and just in studying and kind of, there's so many things that I could, but I did pull out some things. You know, the first thing he says is, he says, "Watch ye, watch ye." We're supposed to watch. What are we supposed to watch for? Well, I think the Bible makes it very clear. Jesus in Matthew 25 and verse 13, he said, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Matthew 26 verse 41, he said, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Mark chapter 13, verses 33 through 37 says, "Take ye heed and watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, either at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Colossians 4:2, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6, Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 5 says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And then Revelation 3:2-3 says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Those are some pretty ominous warnings and exhortations to watch, to be looking. You know, we're supposed to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, right? We're supposed to be looking for the coming of our Lord. This is something that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to watch. We're supposed to watch and pray that we enter not into temptation. We're supposed to be paying attention to what's going on around us. We're supposed to be sober. We're supposed to watch unto prayer. We're supposed to stay prayed up, if you will. We're supposed to be seeking the Lord. We're supposed to be looking for the Lord. We're supposed to be looking out for the hazards and things that come our way and the traps and the snares of the devil. We're supposed to watch. We're supposed to watch. Are you watching today? Have you thought at all today about the coming of the Lord? Have you thought at all today about the fact that there are traps and things that are laid ahead of you, that you have an adversary, the devil, who walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour? Are you ready to resist him, steadfast in the faith, or are you just kind of going la-di-da-di-da? Just, you're not looking for, you're not spiritually minded, you're not watching. You're not looking for the coming of the Lord, you're not ready. And Revelation 3:2-3 is pretty ominous. He tells us, don't sleep, let us watch and be sober. In the passages we read, and in Revelation 2:3, chapter 3, verse 2-3, he says, if therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. That's pretty ominous, isn't it? He says, if you don't watch, there's going to be a cost. There's a price to pay. Sometimes I don't think we believe that, and we don't understand that the way we should. And we're not to be not to sleep as others do. We're to realize that the end of all things is at hand. The end of all things is more at hand now than it was when God had Peter pen those words. Amen. The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And I mean, in your watching, that watching includes prayer. Praying about it. He says, watch. And then he says, stand fast in the faith. He says to watch. Then he says to stand. He says, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. And there's so many passages of Scripture that talk about it. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 1:24, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. Galatians 5:1, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as if it cometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. And then if you want to turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, very well-known passage, obviously, to all of us when we look at it. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And there we see a watching again, don't we? But we see it all told again and again. Stand. Stand fast in the faith. Stand. And take on the whole armor of God. We're to stand and take a stand. We're supposed to do something. At some point, we have to take a stand. And you know, that is something that is actually something that we have to do quite frequently, because we have to have decisions. We have to make decisions throughout our life as we're dealt with situations. How are we going to handle this? Are we just going to do it the way that man wants us to do it? Or are we going to do it the right way? Are we going to do it God's way? Are we going to compromise here, or are we going to stand fast? What are we going to do? Those decisions are made. And so many times, it's the little decisions that we think aren't so important that turn out to be greatly important, because they lay the foundation. It's harder to stand. If you're not willing to stand on small things, it's harder to stand on big things. And we're told to stand fast in the faith, which means we need to understand the Word of God. We need to understand what God is saying. We need to rightly divide the Word of truth. We need to understand the Word of God. That's why it's so important. So we're told to watch. And then we're told to stand. And then he says, quit you like men. Quit you like men. He's saying behave like men. Don't behave like children. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20 says, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Don't be children in understanding. He says, quit you like men. Behave like men. Grow up. Be mature. There's a difference between a boy and a man, isn't there? A boy has absolute unrealistic expectations, and also has a tendency to be undisciplined and immature and not reliable. A man is somebody we expect to be responsible, reliable. Mature, to see things clearly, to see things from an adult. And he says, quit ye like men, behave like men. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 25 through 27 says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. He says, I am going to be temperate. I'm going to be in control. I'm not going to be like a little child about this thing. I'm not just going to swing my arms blindly, and I'm not going to run uncertainly. I'm going to run. I'm going to fight, and I'm going to do it with purpose, and I'm going to do it with understanding, with knowledge, with wisdom. You know, we see, if we were to take the idea of fighting, if you see a little boy go to fight, it's actually, if little boys go to fight, it's actually pretty comical. But then if they grow up and they learn to fight, it can get ugly in a hurry, can't it? Well, if I'm fighting the devil, I don't want it to be comical. I want it to get ugly for him in a hurry. Because if it's comical on my part, it's fixing it ugly for me. Because he doesn't give any quarter. And that's the truth of the matter. So we ought to fight. We ought to be like men. We ought to be looking. We ought to be the ones saying, hey, we have this adversary, the devil, and he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we need to resist him steadfast in the faith. I need to understand my faith so that I can resist the devil. I can withstand the wiles of the devil. I can do that. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Not only does a mature man know how to fight, but he knows what's valuable. I remember as a little boy, my brother sitting there, and he come up to me and he said, I had a dollar. And my brother being older than me, and I was a little boy, and I really didn't know much about money and everything like that. And he come up to me and he says, I'll give you these three quarters for your dollar. And I said, isn't this more than that? He said, no, there's more quarters. There's 3 to 1. And Gary took my dollar and gave me 3 quarters. You know, he's being a smart kid. He's preying on my ignorance. I didn't know the value of things. I thought, oh, 3's got to be better than 1. And this is just a piece of paper. These are hard. You know? I didn't understand the value because I didn't understand money. We don't understand the value of righteousness, I think. We don't understand the value of godliness. The Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto how many things? All things. All of them. Godliness is valuable. Our eternal life is valuable. It is more valuable than our life in this world. And so what we, while we live in this world, our focus ought to be on taking this world and using it and laying up what? Treasure in heaven. Laying in store. Laying in store for the world to come. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3-5 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." In other words, we look at a man and we send them in and we send them in as soldiers, and they have to learn to do what? To grow up. When we send them into boot camp, they work on them, and they put them under stress, and they get them through things, and they push them beyond their normal limits and everything. Why? So at the time comes when they're needed, they can endure hardness as a good soldier. They can go through that. They learn and they grow and they understand that. We don't have the same mindset with our Christianity. That we're willing to endure hardness to be a good soldier, to accomplish the things that are there, that are required there. You know, our military is not there for the purpose of humanitarian support and relief. We may use them from time, but that's not their primary purpose. Their primary purpose is to kill and to break things, to destroy things. That's their primary purpose. They are there to defend and cause damage to people that would attack us. They're not a diplomatic corps. When we send the soldiers in, it's serious, isn't it? So many times we get to where we don't really look at our faith in that way. It's not, we don't have the seriousness that we need. You know, we send, a lot of times we send young people who go into the military. But you know, when those young people go in the military, they're actually adults. They may not have yet learned how to be one, but that's part of the work, isn't it? Hopefully we're doing that some in our house, teaching people to think, teaching people to stand, teaching people by our example and everything like that. And hope we're doing that in our churches, and we're doing that. But we need to stand, and we need to quit ourselves like men. We need to behave like adults, like men, like we're there for the battle. We understand what's going on. We know our enemy. We know our defenses. We know our weapons. We know the situation. We know who our leader is, and we follow his orders. We need to quit ourselves like men. And then finally he says, if we go back to our scripture, he says, be strong. Be strong. Now you don't get strong by default. It takes effort. It takes a willingness. It takes understanding of what to do. If you're going to get strong, you're going to have to push yourself beyond where you are. If you want to make your body strong, you have to. You have to push yourself. If you're going to lift weights, You have to be willing to have some pain. You have to be willing to push yourself beyond to where you can continue to grow. And we have the command to be strong. Now, if I want my body to be strong, I have to figure out what's necessary to accomplish that and be willing to accomplish it. And if I want my spirit to be strong, it's the same way. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Our power is in the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. There's strength in God's grace. Even in the Old Testament, Joshua 1:6-7, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 and 3. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 19, the angel said to Daniel, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. When he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and I said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. You know, God strengthens us not just so that we can go do our own thing, but so we can hear Him. Yeah. The stronger you get, the more you'll listen. The stronger you get in the Lord, the more you will listen to the Lord. Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Strengthen with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and joy, long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 through 10. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. We need to understand where our strength comes from, how to access it, how to get there. If we're going to be strong, we have to be willing to do what's necessary to become strong. We have to realize where that strength lies. And it doesn't rely on us. Even you go back to the book of Nehemiah, when Nehemiah is charging the people and he's telling them to shout and to rejoice. He says, because the joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. There's strength and joy. You learn to have joy in God, it imparts strength. Our strength is in Him. So all this, we go back to the whole thing. He says, watch ye. Watch. Pay attention. Look for the coming of the Lord. Look. Be careful about, look and understand that there's temptations that you haven't had. Watch. Pay attention for the traps and the snares. Learn to see. Learn to understand the signs of the time in which you live in. Understand your responsibilities. You know, if you put a watchman on the wall, he's not just there to watch for himself. He has a responsibility for others, doesn't he? And so do we. And he's telling these people, this Corinthian church, if you go through and you read the book of 1 Corinthians, you see how many times he deals with them about their immaturity and they're being focused on themselves. And he says, watch. Watch. And then he says, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast. Don't back up. Don't give up. Don't walk away. Don't go backwards. Go forwards. If you're under attack, stand your ground. Stand fast in the faith. Hard to stand fast in something you are ignorant of. And we should never... Days shouldn't go by that we don't learn something. Isn't it amazing that God gave us such a capacity to learn? Sister Denise and I were talking the other day, and we were talking about something, and I was just playing around, and we were talking about it was some band come on, some rock band come on, and I still remember it, and when I was into all that stuff and everything like that, I still remember it, and I was sitting there talking about it, and you know, we were kind of just picking at one another about it and everything like that, and I sat there and I said. I named the name of the drummer, the lead singer, the guitarist, everybody like that. I knew their names. I could still remember their names. And like I told her, I said, my head is full of useless information. Isn't it amazing how much we can actually learn? We remember things from childhood, don't we? And so often we waste that memory space on things that don't really matter. We ought to learn some. We ought to stand fast. We ought to move forward. We ought to keep learning, keep growing, keep understanding. And we look at that, and then he says, quit you like men. We need to be not children, but men. He said, like he said there, he said that... He said, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Let everybody be slow to speak, slow to wrath, what quick to hear, I believe is the way he said it in James.
Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath.
Yeah. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, however order it's in. But the point being is, we should have understanding. We should be like men. We should be grown up. We should be willing to stand up. We should be willing to understand what's required. You know, every man in here, if you were a good husband and a good father or even a good employee, if you had dreams and you had desires of things where you wanted to be in your life, if you wanted to plan for a retirement or plan for an inheritance to pass on to your children, or if you just wanted to be the person that got all his bills paid and had a good name among men, you understood that there was a price to make it happen. It required you to get up early. It required you sometimes to stay up late. It required you to be responsible, not just for yourself, but for others. What is it with you today? Are you mature? Or are you still like a babe in Christ? Do you understand your responsibilities as a Christian? Are you willing to do them? Are you willing to endure hardness as a good soldier if necessary? What is it? And then he says, be strong. How can you be strong without the Lord? How can you be strong without the Lord? You can think you're strong all you want, but if you know the thing about it is, you know, we go into the jail weekly, and we go in there and we talk to people. And so often they say, I'm getting out. And some of them do get out, and then all of a sudden they're back in. Again. And while they were in there, they sure seemed strong. They were excited to see you come and preach, and they were excited to hear the Bible. Then they got out and they had to do the performing of it themselves. And all of a sudden everything fell apart. And I don't know how they were when the preacher's not there. I have no idea. But the same thing. You get in church and you come and hear the preaching and then you walk out the door and you don't perform any of it. Like a little child sometimes we are. You know, you sit there and you have a child and, you know, the child... Children are so easily distracted, aren't they? You give them a chore and a task and they see something else they want to do. When the grandkids come up there and everything, I'll tell them to do something. I'll say, all right, pick up the room and everything, make the bed or something like that. And I'll go up there and I'll hear them playing. And I go up and look in there and the bed ain't made and they're sitting there playing. I said, why didn't you make the bed? I forgot. No, you didn't forget. You just saw something else you wanted to do and you went and did it instead of doing what you were supposed to do. So then I have to stand there and stand over them and take all the toys away and say, all right, make the bed. Get them to make the bed and then you can play. That's what we are sometimes. We hear our responsibilities. We hear what the Bible tells us to do. It's preached to us. We say amen. We walk out the door. Forget it. We're told to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Deceiving our own selves. Do we deceive ourselves when we leave here? He said, he that's a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, and as soon as he goes his way, he forgets what manner of man he was. He looks into the mirror and he says, huh, that's me. And he walks away and says, what do I look like? The Bible says, he that looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and as a doer, not a forgetful hearer, this man shall be blessed in his deed. He that looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, I believe it's the way it says. This is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do that which is necessary to be strong. We're supposed to be adults. We're supposed to realize the strength is in the Lord. You know, you look at these things. This pretty much ought to be our way of life, shouldn't it? Watch. Stand. Quit. And be. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, I don't know anybody's heart here but my own, and I know how easy it is to be distracted from what we ought to be doing and what we ought to accomplish. I know what it is to not be what I'm supposed to be as far as spiritually mature. I know what it's like to be weak, and Lord, I know it's what it's like to be immature. And every one of us knows this, Father, but so often we just don't do anything about it. And yet it's necessary for us to accomplish your will in this world, for us to accomplish in the world to come all that you desire of us and desire for us. We have to understand these things. We have to learn to watch. We have to realize the time in which we live in. We have to realize and watch for the traps and the things that we have to be afraid, that the devil would try to spring upon us, and the things, and watch for the dangers that are out there to us spiritually. And Lord, we need to learn to stand fast. We need to realize that there's a line to be drawn, and a line that behind us that should never be crossed, that we should always move forward. And even when we fight, we stand where we are. We don't back up. We don't walk away from the truth. And Lord, we need to be adults. We need to be mature as Christians. And we need to quit ourselves like men. Behave like men, like those that are understand what's important and understand the responsibilities we have. And Father, we need to be strong. And we can only be strong in you. And in the power of your might, by your grace. So Lord, help us to recognize our weakness and realize that our strength is not in ourselves, but it's in you. And help us to desire your strength and your help. Now Father, as we close the service this morning, I just pray you'd work in every heart. I pray you'd help everyone. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.